These words from 2 Timothy chapter 4, quite near the end of this letter. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Read an interview a month or so ago with Dr. Phil, you know, America's psychologist. And in the interview, the interviewer asked, you know, Dr. Phil, if there was one thing you could tell a client or even all the rest of us, one thing a person could do to maintain a level of self-esteem and confidence and live an emotionally stable life, what would that be? And Dr. Phil's answer was, finish what you start. Finish what you start. And I thought back, that makes a lot of sense in terms of career trajectories and so on. Finish what you start. And then I thought of that double strawberry shortcake I made a couple weeks ago. Mission accomplished. Finish what you start. This is a scriptural letter, 2 Timothy, attributed to the Apostle Paul, sent to his disciple Timothy. Most scholars say it is not that, but because it's not that, it's, I think, even more interesting. It's probably not written by the Apostle Paul, but attributed to him, and that's a process that scholars call pseudepigraphy. It's a long word that's hard to define, but it's the opposite of plagiarism. If you plagiarize something, you put your own name on somebody else's work. Pseudepigraphy is to put somebody else's name on your work to give it more credibility. And that, I think, is what's happening here. It's not written to Timothy specifically, but to anyone who is a disciple of the Christian tradition instituted by Paul. And this particular verse is the last word. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Or, to borrow a phrase from now the last day of the Olympics, I stuck the landing, which is the object of the game, if you're a gymnast or a diver or what have you. It's also, I think, the most crucial variable in any endeavor, to stay with it, to persist, and finish strong. Stick the landing. Well, I started to ponder a little bit how we might use, among other things maybe, but this week, women's gymnastics, as a metaphor for how to stick the landing for some of the important things that become part of our life and mission, and how we might at some point be able to say, mission accomplished. I want to use first the vault, which is fun to watch. I mean, that's like flying, right? You vault over and stick the landing. Perhaps it might help us in our ministry to imagine vaulting over harsh judgment and sticking the landing on at least the possibility of understanding. Don't we all know people that just do things that are totally nuts? I mean, why in the world don't you just do things like I do? Then everything would be great, right? Except, and this has become almost cliche, we don't walk in their shoes. And it's impossible to know what that's like and how what that's like informs even what appear to be crazy decisions. One of the great things my folks did for my sister and for me growing up was to take us on road trips all over the country. We saw amazing things. We saw Mount Rushmore as a child and so on. And one particular trip, the object was to get to New Orleans and see what that was about, and then sort of take a road trip through the South, east from New Orleans through Mississippi and so on. And I remember in the course of that, and this was before the proliferation of interstates, driving on country roads or county highways past what, you know, you can't say it any other way, tar paper shacks where people lived. And on these tar paper shacks were big honking TV antennas, and in front of the house were large, if not brand new, cars. And I'm hearing conversation in the car like, what's up with that? Why spend the money on it that you got on a TV antenna on a car and fixing up your house? What's up with that? You know. And, you know, an 8-year-old white kid from the Midwest in the early 60s has no idea what's up with that. Now, I have a PhD in sociology, and I can tell you at length what's up with that if you really want to know, but it would take an hour, so forget it. And that's not the point. The point is, a white kid from the Midwest in 1960 in the segregated American South, in a black neighborhood, has no clue about the decision-making process that occurs in that house about anything, much less a TV antenna or a car. And that's the point. And it's a way of understanding that even though you don't know what the backstory is, there's probably a backstory that perhaps led the folks who made this dumb, seemingly dumb decision say it seems like a good idea to us right now. Well, that's what it means to vault over the judgment. And to, if not understand the details of the backstory, understand there's probably one there and stick the landing with understanding. I don't know. I can't know. But maybe there's a good reason, and let's move on. Let's move over the judgment. So we move from the vault to the uneven bars. I don't know how they do this. These two bars that they're doing something here, they're doing something there, and they're flying back and forth in between, and then they stick the landing. Well, these uneven bars, I think, at least in my mind this week, metaphorically represent polarizing points of view. Have you been encountered by polarizing points of view in your life about anything as of late? Left wing, right wing, red, blue, whatever. Now, I've been doing my professional career in the era of email as it has emerged as a form of conversation. The concept of email has redefined what a conversation is. And Facebook has taken it to the next level by totally redefining the word friend. Now, conversation involves exchanging ideas. And when you exchange ideas in a room with a real person and you're having a conversation back and forth, you not only have the words, you have body language and nuance and eye rolling and all the rest. You have a much more, well, it's more interactive. An email conversation is less interactive than it is an exchange of edicts. See what I mean? In other words, we've carved out the position. We've edited it before we hit send, at least we hope. Well, and Facebook has taken that to the next level with regard to exchanges of edicts, because you can like something, and then everybody knows what that edict is, and then the ripple effect goes on. And I post pictures of cats. I don't know what you do on Facebook, but I try to avoid the, can't believe what he said or she said, and etc. But I was watching a couple of my friends do this. One deeply wedded to right wing and one deeply wedded to left wing, and exchanging these edicts until finally one of them, and I forget who, posted a link to factcheck.org. And there are a couple of these nonprofits, essentially, that are dedicated to taking a sentence from a stump speech or something that winds up in the Twitterverse and checking it out. Trying to do what my research partner, the statistician, used to say, take another ugly or even reasonable opinion and wreck it with a fact, right? Now, PolitiFact and factcheck.org are subject to their own levels of scrutiny, but at least there's an effort to say that pronouncement, that tweet, is subject to further review. And as we start to review the depth of what's being said, we might just find common ground. In other words, going from one bar to the other and flipping in the middle, we might find something about which we can agree. And even if we don't find common ground in the political spectrum, there are things beyond politics that all of us can agree on. That by whatever process we could imagine, children need to be fed. Communities need strong jobs, etc., etc., etc. We can agree on what we need, and then we can discuss how to approach that. But if we start on common ground and somehow stick the landing between the two bars, I think we could finish the race. So if the uneven bars represent competing points of view and we can stick the landing on common ground, I think we accomplish more of the mission. The vault, the uneven bars, and what I'm told is the hardest event in women's gymnastics, the balance beam. And don't we all seek balance? And isn't that extraordinarily difficult to achieve? I got this guy in my softball league that kind of drives me nuts. And he drives me nuts because I can't let go of what happened about 6 weeks ago. And it was just this dumb and largely inadvertent encounter I had with this guy on the base paths that aggravated an injury. And he apologized, and I said, no problem, but it hadn't quite gone away. And then we played this guy's team again this last Monday, right? And it was a very frustrating game. It was a close game all the way, and at the end, we handed them the opportunity to win it. And then they handed that opportunity back to us. And then we handed it back to them, and they won by one run. Very frustrating game. In the course of one of the late innings, we're passing each other, going from dugout to dugout, and I hear him muttering. And I hear him muttering what at least we in the business of those who administer the softball, the phrase that pays. Get what I mean? That word a couple of times. Now, it wasn't being directed at me, and it wasn't being used hostily, but it was being used. I could have let this go. And yet I thought about 6 weeks ago, this is the same clown that et cetera, et cetera. And so I go, in passing, I go, language. He goes, what? I said, language, the word. And he said, I'm not directing it at you, I'm just talking. I said, the word is wrong. And then the situation starts to escalate, largely because it's my choice to start it. And at that point, when he directed the word at me twice and moved toward me, I just backed away and said, deal with it later. On the other hand, my next time up at bat, I informed the umpire that this particular player was very fond of that word, and he said, yeah, I know. And at the end of the game, I informed his coach that his shortstop is very fond of that word. He said, yeah, I know, everybody knows that. So on the way home, I started composing a letter to the board in my head. And I'm on the board, and I'm a team sponsor. I could make this stick. I could get this clown thrown out of the league if I pushed it. So I know how to make a bad situation worse. And in the course of processing all of this, in seeking balance between accountability and forgiveness, I've decided to try something tomorrow night. I know when his team plays, they play in the same field we do a little earlier than us, and I'm hoping I can find him, if only to say with an extended hand, I meant no disrespect, because in point of fact, I don't think I did. I meant to hurt him, which was wrong, and what he said was wrong and all of that. But if I can balance accountability with forgiveness with at least a gesture of generosity, I think I can stop at least making a bad situation worse. So I'm going to stick the landing with generosity. We'll see what happens. Seeking balance. And of course, we are missionaries of the one who ultimately said, mission accomplished, when from the cross he said, it is finished. And when he finished that, he made it possible for us to start and finish what needs to be done. And these days, I think what most urgently needs to be done is to vault over judgment to find understanding, to key into the backstory and find out where people come from and learn, to find common ground between opposing points of view and instead of exchanging edicts, actually have a conversation, and to balance accountability and forgiveness with generosity. In other words, stick the landing. Be missionaries toward accomplishing the mission of God's love, God's peace, God's justice in our lives. Stick the landing. Amen.